to be together. The snow's going to melt away. It's going to be great. I didn't even have to shovel. It's just melting away. That's the way I like it. All right. It's time for kids' church. That's age 3 through grade 4. You guys can head out the back doors. You ready for the word? All right, well, here it comes. We've been in a series, What Would Jesus Do? Or WWJD, like the bracelet said. And we've talked about Christ-likeness. That's really what this whole theme is, and that's our goal, to be more like Jesus. In fact, there's an old chorus that says those words. Does anybody know it? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him. Anybody remember that? I'm really going back a long ways. But that was the chorus, to be like Jesus, and that's our theme. And now just listen to some of these descriptions we've already talked about of what it is to be Christ-like. Selfless, humble, kind, compassionate, forgiving, obedient, and loving servants who trust God and live for righteousness. And those descriptive words are really a pretty tall order. Selfless and humble and forgiving, and those things are not exactly easy for us. And yet that's what we're aiming for, to be like Jesus. And we have to rely entirely on the Holy Spirit to shape us into the image of Jesus, because we cannot do it in our own strength. Now today, we're going to talk about the capability of Christ-likeness. And I want to pause for a word of prayer before we get started. God, I ask for your anointing this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and increase our faith. Help us to understand your word and to believe what you have said. And I pray for your presence to minister as you see fit, and we surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in John chapter 14 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there. We're just going to look at a few verses where Jesus is speaking. And here's what he says in John 14, starting at verse 11. It says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Listen to this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth." There it is, the capability of Christ-likeness. Jesus says, you will do what I have been doing. Wow. That's the capability. The same work that Jesus did is what we are also called to do. Specifically, it refers to the miracles. He mentions that in verse 11. The miracles, the works of God. And Jesus describes his calling in Luke chapter 4. This is when one of the first times he began to publicly speak, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And if that's what the Spirit of God was doing in and through Jesus, that's also what he wants to do in and through us. We're to be more like Christ and do the things he did. Now, here's a brief summary of the work that Jesus did. You find it in Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. There's the summary of what Jesus did. He preached, and he healed. And here in our text, Jesus is saying those who follow him and believe in him should do the same things he was doing. In John, Jesus' works include his miracles, but extend to all that he did and everything that he taught in obedience to the Father. In fact, he summed up his ministry in John 17, verse 4, where he says, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus fulfilled what he was called to do, and he did what the Father instructed him to do. We also are called to do what Jesus did and follow his example. So if we are doing the works that Jesus did, and as he says here, even greater works, it would seem that we should be seeing and doing some miracles, depending on the Father, demonstrating the Father's love and mercy. Jesus did all those things and even more. And he says we should do as he did. Now, this is not the only time that Jesus suggested that miracles and healings were evidence of God at work. In John chapter 10, verse 25, he says this, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. They're evidence. In John chapter 10, verse 37, he says, do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Miracles. The working of the Spirit, healings, those sort of things are evidence of God at work. And Jesus himself said that. And we see the same thing said about those early followers of Christ in the early days. In Acts chapter 14, verse 3, it tells us that Paul and Barnabas were speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. So they were preaching, and God was confirming their word with these signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, it says, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Pretty impressive, right? Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Whoa. Impressive, right? Jesus did miracles. He did healings, and so did his immediate disciples. Peter, John, Paul, they did healings and miracles because they were doing the work of God. Now, back here in John chapter 14, our primary text today, Jesus does not limit this just to his first disciples. He says, anyone who has faith in me. Notice, it doesn't say, hey, you first 12 disciples, you can do what I've been doing. It says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. So we need to talk about faith a little bit. Faith is to think to be true. It's to be persuaded of something. It's to credit and place confidence in something or someone. It's to absolutely trust in God as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something. To believe that God is able, that's faith. How many here this morning would say you believe that God is able to heal? That's faith. I believe God can do it. Now, I'm not suggesting that believers will all have some sort of magical power to do whatever we dream up. Okay? But I do believe that healings and miracles are possible today, and they are still evidence of God at work. I believe it because of what Jesus said. Jesus clarifies that these things happen when we ask in his name. When we ask in his name. Now, this "in my name" also is not some magical formula. Like if we just pray and say, "in Jesus' name," then it has to happen. No, that's not really what he means here, okay? The prayers of believers as Christ's representatives doing his business will be answered. John expanded the teaching in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, where he says, if we ask anything according to his will, you understand, there's the description. We have to, we have what we asked of him if we ask according to his will. And so to ask anything in his name is to ask according to his will. And so then it becomes important for us to discern what God's will is, right? In fact, the scripture says, I don't have this in my notes, but the scripture says Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. And then he did extraordinary works because he knew what God was doing and he did those things. That's the key for us as well, to discern what God is up to and do what he's doing, and then we can see these things happen. To know God's name means to know his nature, what he is, what he wants to do. God answers prayer in order to honor his name. So we need to pray in his will, in his name, according to his will. Now, Jesus also ties all of this stuff to the Holy Spirit. After he says these things, that his followers will do the same things he has been doing, he immediately then talks about the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that in our text? He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. You can ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then he talks about, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to our ability to do the same things that Jesus did. This capability of Christ-likeness only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given two names here by Jesus. He's called the Comforter, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, the Greek word that's translated Comforter is Parakletos, and it's used only by John. It means called alongside to assist. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the one that's called to come alongside and assist. And Jesus says he's giving us this Comforter, this one who is called to come alongside and assist. The Holy Spirit does not work instead of us or in spite of us, but in us and through us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Our English word for comfort comes from two Latin words meaning with strength. We usually think of comfort as someone, as soothing someone, consoling him or her, and to some extent that is true. But true comfort strengthens us to face life bravely and keep on going. That's the idea here. Parakletos is translated advocate in some places. An advocate is one who represents you in court and stands at your side to plead your case. That's the Holy Spirit. He's our advocate. He's the one called alongside to assist. He's the one that's working on our behalf. The Holy Spirit. So Jesus says he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, and that's tied to doing the things he did. But Paul also talked about this. As you know, Paul wrote a big chunk of the New Testament. He also talks about the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. That's the Apostle Paul. He wrote a chunk of the New Testament, and yet he's saying it wasn't in the words that he said or the words that he wrote, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit. And he also, like Jesus, doesn't seem to limit this moving and working of the Holy Spirit to just the original followers. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit or spiritual gifts, those things are given for the common good. Again, it doesn't say, to me and the other disciples, we get these spiritual gifts. No, it says, for the common good. And listen to what he says. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. Wow. Did you catch all that? These spiritual gifts are given to each one as the Spirit determines, and it includes healing and miracles. These things can happen today. The presence of the Holy Spirit was the key to the early church's explosive growth. And he's the key to revival in our generation as well. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes life into the Word of God, and he brings glory to Christ. So if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we also need to promote the glory of Christ and make a big deal out of the Word of God, because that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit of truth uses the Word of truth to guide us into the will and the work of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Church, let me put it real plain. I want to see the power of God working today. I want that. Now, I can't fully explain why we don't see a lot of healings and miracles, but I definitely believe that the Scripture says these things can happen. Healings and miracles are for today, still. The message today that I'm sharing is not an exhaustive study on the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, that would take us weeks and weeks and weeks to really talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just hitting some highlights today. But the Holy Spirit does perform healings and miracles. And if I could be totally honest with you, I don't fully understand how these things are supposed to happen. Okay? I don't fully get it. But I believe that they are available. The Holy Spirit can bring healing and miracles to his people today. Now, but here is one simple thought. Even though I don't fully understand it, I just want to suggest this one thought. Sometimes we don't see healings and miracles and other things accomplished in our life simply because we don't ask. There it is. In James chapter 4, verse 2, he says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. There you have it. Sometimes we don't receive simply because we never stop to ask God. Can I get a witness? Guilty. Sometimes I don't stop to ask God. I just try to fix it myself. How about you? But sometimes we need to slap ourselves in the face. I didn't really want to hit myself. But sometimes we need to do that and say, self, stop and ask God. Okay? Other times we don't receive because our motives are wrong. You know, we might want a miracle just so that we will look good to others, or so that we'll just have an easier road in life. You know, what's really the motive? So the truth is we need to check our motives, but we definitely need to ask as well. We need to ask God. Here's what James says in chapter 5, verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I love this next part. I've talked about it before. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced their crops. Are you catching a theme here at the end? Pray, 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 pray. And in the context, it's about being healed of sickness. Pray, 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 pray. 5 times he says pray. And James is also the one that tells us we don't have because we don't ask. The capability of Christ-likeness is to do what Jesus has been doing. Jesus, didn't he heal the sick? Okay, let's build our faith here a little bit. Did Jesus heal the sick? Did Jesus do miracles? Did Jesus prophesy? Did Jesus preach the good news? Okay, then here's the deal. We should also be doing those things because Jesus said so. John chapter 14, read it again for yourself. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And if you question it, oh, he only means preaching. Look at the context. He just talked about miracles. And then he says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And again, I can't fully explain it. It's a bit of a mystery to me. And yet I see in the Word of God that we're supposed to see this sort of stuff happening. We're supposed to experience healings and miracles. That's what the Bible says. And so my whacked out brain that can't figure it out needs to line up with the Word of God. How's that? Okay. Just because I can't explain it doesn't mean it's wrong or it's not true. The Word of God says it is. So I need to align my thinking with the Word of God. Right? So that's the plan. So here's what's going to happen today. We're going to sing our theme song, and then we're going to have a time of prayer, and I've asked a few people to come and help me, and we're going to be available here in the front to pray. And if you need a healing or a miracle or whatever, we're going to put this into practice today, and we'll just see what God will do. Okay? Again, I don't have any magical powers. Okay? But the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to do. And he just might do a healing or a miracle. That's what the Word of God says. Okay? So let's sing our song.
You can stand if you want.